there's danger everywhere. But danger had never looked quite like this before.
Can you keep a secret?
Based on shocking true events.
This girl, Rena Virk, she's been missing for 3 days.
Emmy Award nominee Riley Keough.
Young girls were the ones we were supposed to protect.
Academy Award nominee Lily Gladstone.
Can't be.
Not be protected from.
A Hulu original series, Under the Bridge. Now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Welcome to the Piketon Massacre, a production of iHeartRadio and KT Studios.
I got to tell you, from kind of a visceral standpoint, when I heard the news that this kid had rolled over on this case, one thing that kind of came to mind for me is, you know, I kind of envisioned his mother in almost a mob barker kind of way, that she's kind of the puppet master that's controlling everything. He's sitting there all along, and suddenly he has this lucid moment where he's out from under that thumb, and he realizes, I'm going to get the needle for all of this.
This is the Piketon Massacre, Return to Pike County, Season 2, Episode 3, Wagner versus Wagner. I'm Courtney Armstrong, a television producer at KT Studios with Stephanie Leidecker and Jeff Shane. On April 22, 2021, Jake Wagner pleaded guilty to 8 aggravated murder charges in the Roden family massacre. As part of his plea deal, he implicated his mother, Angela Wagner, father, Billy Wagner, and brother, George Wagner, as co-conspirators in the killings.
He's also agreeing to testify against his parents and brother, who are also charged in these murders.
Here's reporter Anjanette Levy.
I don't believe anybody knew he was going to do this. So it's a pretty stunning development to see Jake Wagner, the youngest of the entire family, who you would think would be, you know, maybe the most pliable in some respects because he is the youngest, but to see him just break away from his family, I don't know, it's pretty interesting.
The significance of Jake Wagner folding on his family cannot be overstated. But what does it mean moving forward? Criminal defense attorney Mike Allen told Stephanie that it could signal an impending legal chess match.
In terms of Jake Wagner's admission of guilt, I'm just curious about what that means altogether. He's confessed to killing 5 of the 8 Rodens personally. Is he trying to save himself or trying to save his family?
You know, obviously, you know, if he did 5 out of 8, you still have 3 left. And, you know, it'll come out who actually did the killing on those other 3. But was probably a strategic move on the prosecutor's part not to let that out yet. And you know, a prosecutor's not gonna show his cards, or in this case, she, Angie, when she's got three other defendants to try. So they're still going to hold it close to the vest, I think.
Stephanie asked reporter James Pilcher if there were still moves left for Jake to play.
Is it possible that he'll say, that Jake could say, I was in a very controlling environment. My mother, Angela Wagner, controlled us. My father was a bully and said I had to do these things and we were coerced into it. Is there any value in that even?
I mean, that's entirely possible. In some of the reporting, that's what we've heard leak out. The other thing I will say is that maybe they're going after bigger game than Jake, and they figured, we'll cut this deal now. He'll give us what we want, and then we can go get the mom and the dad. But clearly, they were going after the people who plotted it. This was not Jake's idea, right? Or at least not according to the prosecutors. This was the family coming together. That's what the prosecutors are after, is that, okay, we get Jake to help us. We get Jake to plead out. It shows that this really did happen. Now we can go after the people who actually planned it.
On April 28th, just 6 days after Jake Wagner's hearing, his accused brother, George Wagner, walked into the Pike County Courthouse.
The first court hearing since last week's surprise plea deal in the Pike County murder trials took place today.
This hearing for George Wagner was supposed to center on a few defense motions involving discovery evidence.
Anjanette Levy was on the scene that day. She spoke to producer Chris Graves.
Can you kind of describe the mood and what was going on?
The mood was a lot lighter than it had been in the past. The Roden family, the little bit that I saw of them, they just seemed happy for the first time in a long time. And I think I saw Hannah Gilley's mother, and she actually seemed happy. They can start to finally look forward. So it was just a much lighter mood. But, you know, George the Fourth, obviously, it wasn't a lighter mood for him. He looked very stressed. He looked very thin. He doesn't look good. You can see it on his face.
In the aftermath of Jake Wagner's shocking confession, many wondered how accused older brother George Wagner's hearing would play out. We spoke at length about George in the last two episodes. It was at his wedding that the last known picture of the Roden and Wagner families was taken. Also, George and his ex-wife dealt with eerily similar custody issues that would foreshadow what would happen between victim Hannah Roden and Jake Wagner.
His lawyer, Rick Nash, has been very assertive and maintained that George the Fourth, there was no case against him, that there was no evidence against him. But now he's kind of having to swallow his pride a little bit, I think, and realize that there may be some really good evidence tying his client to this. And this motion hearing was for like all these boilerplate death penalty motions. Death penalty is off the table now.
People following the case wondered, would George Wagner strike a plea deal as well?
My opinion of George the Fourth is that he's viewed kind of as the weakest link in this family because he's got the most to lose. He has a son who he loves dearly, and he wants to be with his son. And so I was wondering, what's George going to do?
Instead of a guilty plea, the court heard something far less dramatic.
It took less than 5 minutes for George Wagner the Fourth to ask for more time to evaluate the situation.
Is there anything further that you want to say concerning your motions today?
No, Judge, I don't think so. I think everybody's agreed that given recent events, that everybody needs to step back and reassess.
The hearing concluded with an agreement to reschedule the motion for June 21st, 2021. Though there were no bombshell developments, it's clear that the next few weeks will be pivotal. George Wagner and his accused parents, Angela and Billy Wagner, must now decide how they will proceed.
Do you think that it's possible that now that Jake took the plea deal and admitted to the murders, that we may see Billy, Angela, and or George doing the same thing?
I think it's possible that the others could plead out, but at the same time, what's the point? They have nothing to lose by going to trial because they either plead out, get life in prison, or they roll the dice and go to trial and maybe they can hang a jury.
As Mike Allen points out, there's no one case that assures a conviction.
Is there any version of this where one of them is found guilty and the other are found innocent?
It's possible, yeah. I mean, it all depends on what the individual juries want to do. Yeah, I mean, that's very possible. And it's happened on trials that where there are two defendants that have been severed, where one is found guilty and the other one is not. You know, different juries are different, and it'll be a different jury for every one of these trials. And you, lawyers will tell you, especially criminal lawyers, you never know what is going to happen with the jury. And I've been at this for 40 years, and juries are becoming even more unpredictable. I don't know why, but they are. But in answer to your question, yeah, that's a possibility.
Last episode, we heard Bureau of Criminal Investigation agent Ryan Scheiderer testify about the Wagners' cult-like family dynamic.
They're very close. They live together. They've always lived together. Their finances are intermingled. They homeschool together. They raise their kids together. Everything is done together, as well as we have an informant who says that every decision within that family is made as a family decision.
Without any of the other Wagners coming forward with plea deals, there are still a lot of questions that need to be answered about the family that is alleged to have carried out Ohio's most notorious crime. It's worth noting that while Jake Wagner pleaded guilty, Angela, Billy, and George Wagner have pleaded not guilty.
The state has kind of maintained that each person in this conspiracy had their own role. They had their own kind of part to play. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how strong the evidence is to support their assertion that each person had a role in this conspiracy.
At this point, one thing is clear. Jake Wagner holds the fate of his family in his hands, and the united front the Wagner family has built is beginning to erode. How it will all unfold is anyone's guess.
Remember, we don't know exactly what Jake said and how he said it. We just know that he confessed and led them to evidence. So there's still a lot we don't know based on what the prosecution outlined in court.
So let's take a look at the evidence we know about based on what we've heard through preliminary hearings over the past 3 years. One of the most informative was a hearing for accused brother George Wagner that took place on August 31st, 2020. That day, George's attorneys requested that he be allowed to post bail, arguing that there was no evidence to tie him to the case. Anjanette Levy was at the Pike County Courthouse that day.
It was actually a fool's errand because in the state of Ohio, someone charged with aggravated murder in which the death penalty is sought can be held without bail automatically. There's really no question about it. So they were kind of wanting to, I think, get some more information about the evidence in the case. And the BCI agent on the case, the lead agent, Ryan Scheiderer, took the stand and answered a series of questions about the evidence in the case that they have against George.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and you shall answer unto God.
I do.
You see?
That's Special Agent Ryan Scheiderer of the Bureau of Criminal Investigation taking his oath in court. During the hearing, George Wagner's attorney tried to distance his client from the crime and his accused family.
His attorney had said something to the effect of the evidence, you know, if it tied anybody to this, it was Jake and Angela, not George.
What text or digital communications did you find to or from him that you think is relevant?
Specifically about text messages with George?
Correct.
Yeah, I don't remember any.
Did you collect a cell phone from George?
I don't believe we ever collected George's cell phone.
What connection does George have to do with that laptop?
The device was registered to Jake, but specifically Angela seemed to be the primary user of that laptop.
But there was some evidence that implicated George Wagner along with his brother Jake in the crimes. One of the most striking parts of Agent Scheiderer's testimony had to do with the type of guns used in the homicides.
We know the three calibers of firearms that were used to commit these murders.
And they were?
A .22 caliber long rifle, a .40 caliber, and a .30 caliber.
Scheiderer went on to make a direct correlation between the .22 caliber shell casings found at victims Dana Roden and Frankie Roden's homes and the property owned by the Wagner family. Here's Agent Scheiderer being questioned by Prosecutor Angie Canepa.
We recovered .22 caliber shell casings, and where we recovered those was at 260 Peterson Road, which was property that was owned by George Wagner and his brother Jake.
And were those shell casings submitted to the lab for comparison to the shell casings that had been recovered from both Frankie's and Dana's residences?
Yes.
And what was the opinion of the...
That the weapon that fired the shell casings at 260 Peterson Road also fired the shell casings at Anna's and Dana's residence, as well as Frankie and Hannah Gillies' residence. So the same firearm had been fired on the same properties.
Okay. So the exact same gun, not just the same type of gun.
The same firearm.
Same weapon. Okay.
Forensic expert Joseph Morgan explained the intricate science involved in tying a shell casing back to a specific gun.
The inside of a handgun like this has got rifling. That means it's got lands, which are kind of flat, plateau-looking formations. And also, because these are soft metal brass casings that are being ejected once the round is fired, you have what are referred to as extraction marks. This spent casing, it leaves these little marks that are unique to the interior housing of this particular weapon. And even you can have a weapon that rolls off the line with 50 other weapons that are the same make, same model, but they're all going to be unique at a microscopic level. And that's how they tie back the projectile to a specific weapon.
Another suspicious item was found during a different search of the same Wagner property.
The police went back and they found what the ATF says was likely used as a homemade silencer for a gun.
Agent Scheiderer elaborated.
We recovered a Maglite flashlight turned into to a suppressor. He had an adapter at one end that is a solid adapter, a closed end, and then at the other end you add a thread adapter, and it's designed to catch cleaning solvent when you're cleaning your firearm, but it can easily be converted into a suppressor. They determined that it was a suppressor as defined by federal statute, been fired at least one time because they could see a bullet strike inside the suppressor.
That was pretty interesting because that wasn't found. That was found in, I think, October of 2018, right before the indictments came out. And that property, the Peterson Road home, had been searched in May of 2017.
I mean, when I hear that, it sounds like someone told them about it.
We know that Jake led them to the guns, the murder weapons, the car used, purchased and used. And so who knows, maybe.
During cross-examination by George Wagner's attorney, Agent Scheiderer highlighted some of the other evidence the state has on George, including wiretap surveillance.
Could you approximate to the nearest hundred of how many hours you have regarding this recording of George Wagner?
Hours, not really, but I would say over 100 days.
Over 100 days. Okay. Yes. And so I want you to focus on those 100 days, and maybe your answer is the same, but I'm going to ask it a different way. Could you tell us over that 100 days of recording George Wagner, what statement he made that you recorded that ties him into this case?
I mean, he never confessed, if that's what you're getting at, but he made incriminating statements.
At a different hearing, George Wagner appeared in court for an unusual request. Be put in solitary confinement. Here's Jeff speaking with Mike Allen.
What about George Wagner asking for solitary confinement? What do you make of that?
His stated reason was that he wanted to be able to study the Bible in peace. That's a little unusual. When inmates ask for solitary a lot of times, although they may not say it, they're asking for that because they've been threatened and, you know, they want to make sure that they're as safe as they can be in jail. You know, it's hard to know what's going through his head, but I mean, either he's immersing himself in the Holy Bible or somebody's saying that they're going to do something to him. Either way, his mental state is probably not good. But when I read that, I kind of wondered, is that the real reason? I mean, you know, you just have to wonder what the motivation is.
Since his arrest in 2018, accused father Billy Wagner has also staunchly maintained his innocence.
Billy Wagner's attorney has been very adamant that there's no evidence, there's no case against Billy Wagner, that there's nothing. They have nothing that ties him to this.
Last year, Billy Wagner made an audacious move to separate himself from the other members of his family and move his trial forward. He took it upon himself to file a motion in court. It had to do with his right to what's referred to as a speedy trial. An Ohio procedural rule stipulating that anyone charged with a felony must be brought to trial within 270 days of their arrest. While accused father Billy Wagner had initially waived his right to a speedy trial, it seems he suddenly had a change of heart.
the court received a handwritten motion from Billy Wagner asking that his right to a speedy trial be invoked and that he withdraw his waiver of his speedy trial right. He was pretty frustrated, I guess, that he's sitting in jail. He says he's innocent and was frustrated and submitted this to the court. But it was actually some fairly good jailhouse lawyering. I'm assuming he had somebody in the jail handwrite this for him. And his attorneys, they became aware of it and talked with him and withdrew it immediately.
Mike Allen gave us his professional opinion on Billy's homespun legal strategy.
I don't care how small your jail is, you're going to have jailhouse lawyers. And criminal defense attorneys instruct their clients, do not listen to the jailhouse lawyers. They don't know what they're talking about. If they did, they wouldn't be where they are. So that's every criminal defense lawyer's worst nightmare, is when your client files a motion without consulting the attorney. It's a very stupid thing to do. So Billy Wagner's lawyer, I'm sure, probably had some strong words for him for doing that.
While Billy and George Wagner have been busy filing legal motions to help their cases, the same can't be said about accused mother, Angela Wagner.
Bob Craypence is what you would call, you know, the first chair on this case for her defense team. And he's been very, it's been very quiet on that front.
However, Angela Wagner has appeared in court for other reasons. At a hearing in 2019, Judge Randy Deering revoked Angela Wagner's mail and phone privileges after she was caught trying to discuss case strategy with her family. Here's her lawyer speaking in court that day.
We would stipulate that she was, in fact, instructed that she was to have no contact with co-defendants in this case. The state has presented us with some information indicative of a violation of that, and we would stipulate that she did, in fact, violate that court order.
Some of Angela Wagner's alleged orchestration was presented by Agent Scheiderer at George's bail hearing last year. He testified about shoe prints that were found at a few of the crime scenes. This evidence points directly to Angela Wagner's role in the conspiracy.
I'm going to hand you what's been marked as Exhibits 8 and 9. You tell us what those are.
These are the shoe impression prints that were lifted from Chris Rogan Sr.'s residence.
And those are shoe impressions that are later determined to be from a specific shoe that is determined to be sold by Walmart.
Correct.
And then did you ultimately execute a search warrant up on State Route 41?
Yes.
Can you describe to us what you were searching there?
There were two pickup trucks and three trailers that were parked at that location that belonged to the Wagner family.
Did you find a receipt?
Yes, we did. There was a Walmart receipt.
And can you tell us where the receipt was found?
In Jake Wagner's.
Okay. And specifically in a tub marked important things or something?
Correct.
Okay. What was the significance of that receipt?
So this Walmart receipt is for the Waverly, Ohio Walmart on Emma Avenue. It is dated April 7th, 2016, timestamped at 16:58 hours. On there are the purchase of two athletic brand tennis shoes, which is consistent with the shoes that we were looking for.
And you indicated that Angela made a statement to your fellow agents that she had purchased those shoes specifically for Jake and George.
Correct.
And you were asked if you've recovered those shoes, if you found those shoes.
Yes.
And you did not, correct?
Correct.
And isn't it true that Angela said that she had thrown those shoes away the very same day that she bought them?
Yes.
Because the boys didn't like the shoes.
Correct.
But Jake and George told...
They denied knowledge of the shoes.
Ever seeing them.
Correct.
We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back in a moment.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Altogether, it appears the prosecution has amassed an overwhelming amount of evidence against the Wagner family. Here is Agent Scheiderer telling George Wagner's attorney just how much audio evidence the state has at their disposal.
What recordings do you have that you feel are relevant or indicia or some evidence here in this case?
We have approximately 8,000 recordings, primarily of the Wagner individuals, the family. We also have interviews where, I feel there was incriminating statements made within the interviews.
They've got wiretaps in this case. They have video surveillance evidence. They have, countless interviews with people. The prosecution has said, this is a voluminous file. They've said it takes up terabytes and terabytes. A terabyte is a huge amount of space on a computer. So that kind of gives you an idea of what they've gathered.
The sheer volume of evidence shocked even seasoned attorney Mike Allen. Here he is talking to Jeff.
You as an expert, is that a high amount? Is that a normal amount of evidence?
No, that's just astronomical. I would not have expected it to be that high. It's not normal at all.
According to investigative reporter Jody Barr, George and the other accused Wagners could have implicated each other without even knowing.
What we don't know is whether the Wagners gave statements and what statements they made to investigators before, during, or after the charge. We don't know what the contents of any intercepted phone calls since they've been in jail might be. Who knows what the state of Ohio has as far as whether, statements made by one Wagner could almost assure a conviction of another.
So how could we see the legal battles play out in the courtroom if the Wagners decide to go to trial? As it stands, Billy, Angela, and George Wagner have all been charged with 8 counts of aggravated murder. If convicted, they, like Jake, will spend the rest of their lives in prison.
Never have I seen anything even remotely close to this case. I've been involved in some bad ones, but this one is by far the worst. One of the many things that's so unique about this offense is you do have generations of family members just taken out completely. It's just hard to imagine a fact scenario more bizarre than this one. It's so unique in so many ways.
One of them is the enormous burden the trials will place on the legal teams and the Ohio criminal justice system.
You're trying the case in a small county with limited resources. I don't know how they're going to do it. It's just going to be a logistical nightmare.
Can the Wagner lawyers work together on the defense, or does it all have to be separate?
They can work together, and that happens sometimes when you have co-defendants. I think at some point you run into some strategy problems, but no, to a certain extent they can. But the lawyer obviously has to zealously represent his client. But if it's in his client's best interest to work with the other lawyers, yeah, they definitely would.
Witness testimony could also prove to be a challenge.
You're going to have witness burnout because most probably of the witnesses in one trial will be witnesses in the other. And, you know, that's a burden upon the witnesses, but the prosecution has no choice. They have to go forward in that nature.
Another obstacle, seating a jury of 12 impartial Pike County residents. Here's Chris speaking to reporter James Pilcher.
It's Ohio state law that you initially have to try and seat a jury in the county the crime was committed, correct?
So Angela Wagner has already requested that her trial be moved out of Pike County, but under Ohio legal procedures, you have to try to seat a jury in the county where the crime was committed before you're allowed to move it. So they've got to pull from a jury pool of registered voters, narrow it down to 12, plus a couple alternates. And that process can take anywhere from 3 days to a week, depending on the complexity of the case.
I mean, that's going to be really difficult, isn't it? I mean, there's only, I think, 27,000, 28,000 residents in all of Pike County?
You have to pick jurors for cases out of a jury pool that small. I would not be surprised to see them have to move some of these trials to another county.
Again, here's Mike Allen.
That's probably the judge's biggest headache in this case, is to ultimately be able to seat separate juries that can be fair both to the state and to the defense, because I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any county in the state of Ohio that just was not inundated with media coverage about this. But it's important to keep this in mind. If a potential juror says under oath that, yes, I have seen things in the media about this, but I can divorce myself from those things and render a fair and impartial verdict based upon the evidence that we see from the witness stand, the testimony, and the instructions given by the judge, that's then a good and acceptable juror. And that's the only way that this case is going to work, because unless you're living in some kind of a cave, I don't care who you are, you've heard about it. And, you know, you're just not going to be able to seat a jury of 12 in any of these cases where they've not heard anything about it.
How are each of the cases likely to affect the other? Are there things that we should be keeping an eye on?
The first one that goes, I think, has the tougher road. And the guy going last or next to last, they're going to have an advantage by knowing which way the judge will rule on evidentiary motions and things of that nature. They'll have the benefit of watching the tape, so to speak, like a football coach would.
But there could be one overlooked factor that determines the outcome of the cases, the drive of the prosecuting attorneys.
When you see a case like this and see the position these young kids have been put in, what does that make you feel when you see a case like this?
It's just absolutely heartbreaking. It just is, because you just know that is going to permanently affect that child. There's no way that it couldn't. But the prosecutor's driven by justice for the victim and the victim's family. But if you have a particularly violent and heinous crime like you have here, it's tough. But as a prosecutor, honestly, it makes you want to work all the harder to get a conviction. And it's just the way it is.
We've heard Special Agent Ryan Scheiderer mention witnesses who were close to the Wagners in excerpts of his testimony. Since Jake Wagner's confession, we haven't heard anything from grandmother of the accused, Frederica Wagner. Last season, we talked about how she was arrested on obstruction of justice and perjury charges pertaining to bulletproof vests she purchased for her son, Billy Wagner.
Prosecutors believe she purchased the vest for him to use in the killings.
Her charges were dropped after a hearing in 2019 as the prosecution feared not being able to try the case before the 270-day speedy trial statute. But her case isn't closed yet.
Frederica, they've indicated in court documents that they may charge her again with obstruction.
Frederica Wagner has vehemently defended her family's innocence. But is it possible that she knows more about what happened the night of April 21st, 2016 than she's let on? Depending on what Jake Wagner knows and reveals, it's possible that grandmother Frederica Wagner could be looking at new charges.
Do you know what Jake pleading guilty, how that will impact his grandmother?
Well, they can always be reindicted if there's additional new evidence. He kind of seems to be like he's the key to this entire case. So, yeah, I suppose it's possible.
To our knowledge, Frederica Wagner has not been implicated in any other crimes, nor has she made any plea deals with the prosecution. But the same can't be said for the other grandmother who was charged in the case.
Rita Newcomb, Angela Wagner's mother, initially told investigators that she had notarized and signed some custody documents for the child that Jake and Hannah shared in the event that they died. But then later, as her trial approached, on the day of trial, all of a sudden we were all out there ready to go, and the trial was canceled. And then a short time later, she pleaded guilty. And in court, the prosecution outlined how they said that Rita admitted that she had lied and that her daughter, Angela, had asked her to lie about signing and notarizing those custody documents.
Here's a statement Rita Newcomb made during her plea deal.
Has anyone promised you anything at all or threatened you in any way at all in order to induce you to withdraw your former plea of not guilty entered to the original charge of obstructing justice, a fifth-degree felony in count 4, and to enter a plea of guilty to the amended charge of obstructing official business, a misdemeanor of the second degree?
No, I just feel that it's not a good Christian thing to lie, and I couldn't have put it no more.
This is all despite Angela Wagner's repeated attempts to further manipulate her mother.
During court hearings for Angela's mother, Rita Newcomb, it was stated that Angela Wagner was on jail calls telling her mother, "You don't have to testify against us."
Mike Allen told Stephanie about the challenges Rita Newcomb's testimony could present if the trials move forward.
If it's obvious to the trial judge that she doesn't want to be testifying to the state, the judge can and probably would designate her as a hostile witness.
What is a hostile witness?
If the prosecution has to call a witness to establish or help establish one of the elements of the offense, and that witness is someone who's more sympathetic with the defense, in all likelihood, then the judge would designate that person a hostile witness, giving the prosecutor the opportunity to ask leading questions. So it's not a matter of whether they get up on the stand and act crazy or act like an idiot. It's a matter of, is this person, you know, going to cooperate with whoever is calling them?
Another possibility is hearing from one of the long-rumored informants we discussed last season. Mike Allen discussed the role informants usually play in cases like the Wagners.
Are you able to, Mike, just tell us what an informant is?
It usually is a situation where they go to the police with some information. I mean, police can seek out people, too, and you know, just say, hey, you know, tell us what you know about this. And I mean, it happens both ways, but more often than not, it's the police know that somebody, there's a good chance somebody would know something, and they seek that person out. But the thing of it is, it's a confidential and reliable informant. So it has to be someone that you can build a case that they are reliable.
At George Wagner's bond hearing last year, Agent Ryan Scheiderer told the court that one informant had disclosed a deadly plot that the Wagner family was planning on carrying out. It included then-Attorney General Mike DeWine, Pike County Sheriff Charles Reeder, and Scheiderer himself.
There is a witness that testified that she was present when George, his brother Jake, his mom, and his dad were basically organizing a retaliation plan should they get arrested and charged, specifically targeting myself and DeWine and Sheriff Reeder.
Okay. And According to the person who gave you this information, when was that statement made?
Summer of 2018.
Anjanette Levy heard Agent Scheiderer's testimony that day.
I think there's supposed to be a couple of informants in this case. And one of them, which is very interesting, happens to be a woman who married Jake Wagner when the family went to Alaska.
Let's stop here for another quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Last season, we talked about the Wagner suspicious move to Alaska in June of 2017 at the height of the Roden murder investigation.
They said this had been planned for some time. The boys were looking for good jobs up there. And then Jake met a woman at church. They became married. And in the discovery documents that detail what was handed over by the state to the Wagner attorneys, it states that there are several interviews between a Bureau of Criminal Investigations agent and the woman that Jake Wagner married while he was living in Alaska. So there are a number of interviews with her and recorded phone calls between this woman and Jake Wagner.
What about the witnesses who were left alive at the scene, the Roden children who were spared that fateful night in 2016?
One of the kids was a 3-year-old toddler. If that child witnessed the murder, I don't know if he said something when the investigators came in that pointed to possibly someone in the Wagner family, because they would have all known each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's 8 now. If he had any memory or had said something at the time when they found him, is there any potential that he might be called as a witness?
Although 8 now, in Ohio, the rule is a child under the age of 10 is presumed incompetent to testify. Now, if a judge does what they call a voir dire of that potential witness and determines that the young person does know the difference between telling the truth and telling a lie, it's possible that the judge could permit the testimony. But boy, any defense attorney are going to fight like crazy to keep something like that out. It comes down to the reliability. Is it a reliable statement? Can you rely on something that a three-year-old saw and something that an eight-year-old years after the fact is trying to explain? It's tough, not impossible to get a statement like that in, but I think highly unlikely.
Mike Allen pointed out a compelling entry in one of the discovery documents that implies another piece of the evidentiary puzzle.
Is there one piece of evidence, just based on what you've seen in terms of the discovery list, that is the aha or something that really surprised you?
Yeah, there's definitely one thing. It says trash poll from June 8, 2017, and that can only mean one thing, that DNA is involved in this case. What a trash poll is when somebody sets their trash out at the curb, they do not have a privacy interest anymore in that trash. So it's open season for the police if they want to go rooting through somebody's trash. And that's how, in many instances, that's how law enforcement gets DNA evidence, is from trash polls.
That's the thing that closes the deal, right? That closes the case, essentially.
That's the part of the CSI thing that, you know, jurors watch, and that's one thing that's accurate. I mean, if it gets into evidence, it's just devastating.
Another revelation we're likely to witness at the trial is more information about the rodents' autopsy reports. Though the documents were released months after the murders in 2016, they were heavily redacted due to a gag order imposed by the judge on the case.
This is just a situation where, you know, the trial judge who has to shepherd these trials through fairly doesn't want the public getting this information before trial. One of the reasons being you don't want a tainted jury pool. And, of course, the prosecution, they don't want to telegraph anything from that autopsy with respect to their strategy.
Reporter James Pilcher told us what journalists were able to glean from the initial releases.
They basically laid out where they were found, how many times they were shot, you know, where they were shot. And, you know, they did list specifically where the young kids were found.
So what can we expect from the full reports?
A good autopsy will tell you a lot about how the victim lived and how they died. And it's a pivotal, critical piece of the investigation and possibly reveal information that maybe only the killer would know.
But the most powerful part of the state's case could come from the prosecutor's recreation of the events of April 21st, 2016. According to forensics expert Joseph Morgan, this narrative helps give a voice to each member of the slain family. It's something that we'll be revealing in real time as the trials for Billy, Angela, and George Wagner proceed.
In the case of the massacre in Piketon, every single human remain, every body that was there, has an individual tale to be told. The prosecution is trying to paint a picture here, and they're going to do that through these bodies. That's going to be the vessel they're going to travel through here. And the more vibrant that the prosecution can make that picture, the more effective. It shocks the conscience of just people that go about their normal day life. They don't expect this type of thing to happen. And it is pure evil.
More on that next time. For more information on the case and relevant photos, follow us on Instagram at KT_studios. The Piketon Massacre, Return to Pike County, is executive produced by Stephanie Leidecker and me, Courtney Armstrong. Editing and sound design by executive producer Jared Aston. Additional producing by Jeff Shane, Andrew Becker, and Chris Graves. The Piketon Massacre, Return to Pike County, is a production of iHeartRadio and KT Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Welcome back. What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com.
Ooh, is it full of chilling intrigue?
No, it's full of hot savings. CheapCaribbean.com's semi-annual sale is helping you save $200 off your next booking for 4 nights or more. Score site-wide deals to your favorite beaches in Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Let's start at CheapCaribbean.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.